Welcome to the Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast, brought to you by NAR Commercial, the National Association of Realtors. In this program, we'll have a conversation with Gregory Schenck. Greg is president of the Schenck Company, Central Ohio's exclusive tenant advisory brokerage consultation firm. Greg has 25 years of experience in the business, ranging from representing tenants and buyers in locating and negotiating office, medical space, and investment projects, as well as 1031 exchanges, lease buyouts, and termination options. Greg is also a member of the 2012 Signature Series Speakers Bureau of NAR Commercial. And in this program, we'll talk to him about some of the top mistakes that tenants are now making as they look for tenant representation among their brokers. We spoke to Greg over Skype from his office in Columbus, Ohio. Greg Schenck, thanks for joining us on the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Good morning, Steve. It's great to be here again.
Greg, we've spoken in the past, and I'm wondering if you could bring us up to date on some of the changes that have taken place in the market in the past 2 years or so.
Well, obviously, the past 2 years has been a whirlwind of change from the last time that we spoke. Deals both on leases, purchases, and build-to-suits are much more difficult than they were in the past. And doing more due diligence and knowing who you're dealing with is more important than ever before. In my 26 years of doing commercial real estate, we've had to put more time in the front end to make sure that the landlords we're dealing with, the sellers we're dealing with, the buyers we're dealing with, and tenants we're dealing with have the appropriate credit, ethics, values, etc., to be able to finalize the transaction. And the reason being is, again, for my typical transactions, I'm spending anywhere from 6 months to a year on a typical transaction and putting in between 80 and 100 hours on it. So you're investing a lot of time and you want to make darn sure that it's going to go through.
So how difficult is it, has it become to get a deal actually completed?
Well, let's put it this way. We talked a few years ago, about half my business was leasing and purchasing and half was people renewing. Now, about 80% of tenants are renewing or restructuring existing leases and downsizing or right-sizing, either jamming more people into less space or they don't need as much space, so they're trying to either sublease out and do a lease buyout. So the first real change is that people have not been looking to move as much. They've been afraid to make longer-term commitments. And so because that brings in a whole new set of factors that need to deal with. And first and foremost is, what is that tenant's credit like? How long are they going to be comfortable signing on the dotted line for a new lease for? What changes do they need inside their physical space from what they used before? And all of that is brought about a lot of changes. So really, probably 80%+ of my business has been working on these restructuring and reorganizing. And the tenants that do it right and have a strategic plan, and this is the real key, Steve, is putting together a team of experts, real estate attorney, accountant that knows real estate, commercial banker that knows real estate, someone like myself that represents tenants, buyers, and investors, put together a team and put together a strategic plan. The upside is significant. Unfortunately, most people try to do this themselves and or don't have a strategic plan, and they react instead of being proactive. The ones that react have really, really struggled and or gone out of business. And there's obviously a tremendous amount of companies that have tried to sublease out too much space. We've seen retailers left and right go out of business, but office tenants as well have really struggled, where they've either had to lay off people or they haven't been able to sublease part of their space. So the challenge has been doing that due diligence on the front end, finding out if what the people are you're talking with are telling you the whole truth. So that takes a great amount of time and a great amount of time to build that trust between both parties.
So now the whole field of tenant representation is very different from representing the owners of the property. What are some of the differences and what are some of the things people need to think about when they're looking at either getting into tenant representation or helping their clients with that?
Well, one of the reasons my business has thrived and prospered while others has really suffered is we act as an advisor consultant first and then a resultant second. Or most people that are doing listings have really struggled because absorption of space is so far down and has been so far down for the last couple of years. Sales of buildings have been, you know, virtually non-existent for a couple of years, just starting to come back. I mean, we went with about a four-year period where we only had two people purchase buildings. Now, this spring, we've had two people alone purchase buildings. You know, before, either people didn't have the cash or they couldn't get the financing on that. But the major difference is the mindset, Steve, of really the old Stephen Covey, seek first to understand, then be understood, helping that client put together that strategic plan and implementing that plan and bringing together all the other parties that are available to help them through the process. So we consider ourselves a master of the market, knowing the market inside and out, forward and backwards, and knowing the process inside and out, forward and backwards. This is really key. And by doing that, you're really there as a long-term consultant advisor for the client, not just a single transaction. And I think what makes me, you know, more proud than anything when I have a client that comes back to me that I helped 5 or 10 years ago that needs our services, and we've obviously been in touch and helped them restructure or open up a new branch or move a branch or buy a building or buy an investment property, something like that, you know, anywhere in the country.
It sounds like you're saying that the relationship over the long term is more important than the transaction way of doing business. And I think that's true in a lot of areas. But how is that particularly so in representing tenants?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head. We actually teach a course called the Relationship Approach to Business. Too many brokers look at business as a single transaction. Get the listing, get the sign up, get somebody else to do it, and be on to the next one, where they have very little, if any. Now, when I first started my career, I did both, and I just didn't get the same kind of satisfaction of doing that. I had a much better sense of personal accomplishment and feel to help somebody get what they want, not selling anybody anything, and really tenant and buyer advisory services or investor advisory services enables you to do that. And it is creating a relationship and knowing people, letting them know, you know, how much you care and that you are going to be around. You're just not going to ever hear or see from them again. If they have other problems that aren't, you know, specifically related to the real estate, that may be on the periphery, that you're willing to help them with for that. So, for example, we're helping people introduce them to all the other vendors in the process, from a mover to a phone person to a wiring and cabling to a contractor to an architect to things even like getting a soda machine for their kitchen area in there. Whatever they need, I'm going to help them to save them time and money in the process, and that builds a stronger bond and not only help them in the future, but all their clients as well.
Now, you are very familiar with the members of the Commercial Alliance of the National Association of Realtors. You know the members pretty well. Talk a little bit about how they would go about developing a business representing tenants. Maybe a few items on the checklist for getting started.
Well, that's a great question. First and foremost is knowing your niche in the market better than anybody else. Too many people out there within the membership are generalists, trying to know everything about everything, and that's just impossible to do. And again, in my 26th year, I still don't know everything about anything. There's just no way you can know it. You can't know the difference, for example, between rents on a two-bedroom flat or a two-bedroom townhouse on one side of town and the other, and know what industrial space is for below 18-foot ceilings and above 30-foot ceilings, office space, Class A, downtown versus a suburban office condo, and retail space in a strip center versus a power center. No matter how small your market is, there's just no way to do that today. You can look online, but you're not really going to know what's really crucial. Who are the landlords? Who are the landlords that can do business? Who are the sellers that can really go through and do what they say, and what are their properties worth? So the first way to add value to become a tenant representation is picking a niche and being a master of that, knowing that niche in that market better than anyone else. So that does take time, okay? My mentor pretty much told me, if you try to earn before you learn, you get burned. And really studying that market, you know, that could take a year, that could take 2 years based on the size and scope of your market. I chose the office market. So I do about 80% office, medical office, and flex space. And I know those office landlords and those leasing agents, you know, as well as anyone in our central Ohio market. And I've spent 20-some years obviously doing that, even before there was internet out, what we called strip mapping, going building to building to know every landlord and every tenant. So that's the first thing, differentiating yourself between everybody else that's out there. Because again, NAR statistics will show that over 90% of people are generalists, and their income is significantly lower than somebody that's a specialist. The next thing to do is to find an area that you enjoy working in, a type. Could be dentists, could be software companies, could be whatever. I chose a niche of privately held companies that I wouldn't be battling with the major giants. I've gone from being with the largest company in the country to being on my own now for 16 years and also speaking and teaching for 16 years. And I found that these privately held companies, I'm dealing directly with the CFO or the owner of the company, and I can get in to see them easier. I don't have to worry about dealing with headquarters in different cities where I couldn't get into the decision makers. So picking that niche within there, that's something that you're really passionate about, is another real key, Steve.
Now, you talked very briefly before about the whirlwind of changes that have gone through the market in the past several years. And since we last talked, has there been any change in the balance of which part of the commercial sector you find tenant representation more commonly? Is it still more common in retail and office versus land and industrial, or has that mix changed?
No, I don't believe that mix has changed, but I think people need us more than ever. They need somebody they can trust. The process is so much more complicated. It's much tougher to get money. The biggest challenge today is to getting improvement dollars to build out space on a renewal or on a new lease. I've got several very well-credited tenants, some national, some local, that even with that are struggling to get enough money to do the build-out. The other thing is the disparity between what a property's worth, what a seller thinks it's worth, and what a buyer thinks it's worth. So an investor, in the time that it takes to close that, you know, was over 400 days. Now it's down to about 250 days, but that's a very long time, and a lot can go wrong in that time. So knowing who has the money, knowing who can borrow the money, you know, what is the credit of the landlord or the seller that you're dealing with, as well as the tenant ability to do, is huge. And that takes time. But as far as the niches goes, I believe there's a need for it in every niche in every area.
Talk a little bit, if you would, Greg, about the kinds of services that tenant rep brokers provide to their clients.
The first thing they do is seek to understand. We have a form on our website, and it's available for anybody that wants to look at it if they go to ireptenant.com under Getting Started. And basically, it's what we call a client profile sheet, the who, what, why, when, and where. It's getting all the information on a prospective client to find out where have they been, where are they now, and where do they want to go. Again, do they have a plan? Not just when does their lease expire, how much they're paying now, how much would they pay in the future? Is there a holdover penalty? Is there a notice period? But a lot more than that, the between the lines things of what kind of image, what kind of access, what kind of visibility, you know, what kind of things are coming up in the future? Are they looking to merge with a company, to downsize, to splinter out into different cities? The more we ask those probing questions and understand what's important to them, their hot buttons, the better we can service them. So we created a form, and it's really a catch-all form to do that, that's available to any NAR member on that. And so that's the first step, is really collecting the data and finding out what they want. The second part is helping them through the process and educating them on the market. So a good tenant rep broker is going to know the market, know that segment of the market that's important to their client. If they want to be in the northwest side of town and need a 5,000-foot space, they need to know every 5,000-foot space on that north side of town and know which ones are for lease, which ones for buy. If somebody said, look, I can only go on the first floor, which ones are only on the first floor, which ones can get signage, which ones have acceptable parking, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so the more data and information we know, the more time and money and the more value we create for the client. And then the other major step is helping them through that process. A typical client, I'm going to spend 40, 50, 60, maybe 70 hours with. And if I can cut that down 10 or 15 hours, that CEO or CFO is going to be extremely grateful that we're saving them as much time as we're saving them money.
Now, you're going through the process of helping them negotiate the leases, and you provide all the different knowledge and expertise that you have about the market. Do you also work with attorneys on lease contracts, or do you prefer not to?
Without a doubt. We negotiate all the business terms and conditions and then work very closely with the attorney and the accountant on all the legal items. I mean, I've done over 750 leases myself, but that doesn't mean I'm not looking for legal expertise on every lease. I don't play attorney. We don't want them to play real estate broker. I don't play accountant and vice versa. We believe it's a team approach, and we're the quarterback of that team, keeping everybody informed, the glue that sticks everything together to get them their solution of what they want on time and on budget.
Talk a little bit, Greg, about the compensation arrangements for tenant rep brokers. Are they the same as they were the last time we spoke? Are there any new trends in compensation approaches?
Well, probably the best thing, really going back even 4 years ago, is when the market got worse, landlords and their agents were struggling to get new business. So we actually increased our compensation. And obviously it varies from market to market, city to city, state to state, product type to product type. But, you know, as most people's business has suffered, ours has flourished. And it's been very, very lucrative. And I think it's going to continue to be, because people need more help and people need people that they can trust. Our ethical standards, our processes really help set us apart from other brokers around the country. You have not seen one tenant rep broker that I know of, and I feel like I keep my finger on the pulse, that has got into any legal issues. Whereas every day we're seeing more fraud, more greed, more other issues on that. So I think that's the other side, that tenant reps hold themselves to a higher standard because they do want that long-term relationship, not just a quick listing.
Do you have any suggestions for people who are thinking about making this part of their practice about how to set compensation levels?
You really have to talk to other people in your market, because it really does vary. On there, and by looking at what listing other listing agents are giving, depending on how bad the market segment is, but it can really range from one to the other. The other thing is that most people don't even think about doing, as I said in the beginning here, is to be a consultant advisor first, and you can earn consulting fees on a per project basis that really don't have anything to do with the move and or the lease, just doing the research. So we've gotten quite a few projects for that. We just had a warehouse owner that owns 15 warehouses, wants to know, it's kind of an internal deal, what is the right rate to be paying for all these things in this investment? We had a big pizza company last year that had 12 retail leases do the same thing that we earn significant fees on, kind of opinions of values type things. So this is a way for real estate agents that are tied to commission to earn maybe fees on an easier basis, not as much as a long-term basis, on a quicker solution. Again, though, the keys, knowing your market, knowing that product type, knowing the players involved. If you don't, team up with somebody that does. Don't be greedy. Don't, you know, blue sky people. You have to give them the truth. If you're not the right person, find them somebody that is. I'd be happy to advise them. I've got a 20-year plus data bank of every good tenant rep broker around the country by product type, and I'd be happy to introduce them to the right people in their market.
Now, it's probably the case that large retail chains that are citing big box stores all over the country have their own team of people who do the kinds of research and the kinds of negotiations you're talking about. But if a commercial broker is looking for work with tenants, what kinds of clients are they likely to find?
Well, most large companies would have an in-house real estate department, but they would still work with a local tenant rep broker in each market. Okay, some have national contracts with major 4-5 brokerage, and some prefer to work with independents like myself because there is no conflict of interest. If a major company goes with one of the large 4 or 5, they've got a 20 or 30% chance that they're going to be reviewing some of their own listings, which is an inherent conflict of interest. One thing about a tenant representation with doing no listings, you're giving people a totally unprejudiced view. There is room in every segment of the market. Retail and office are probably the most common, Steve, and have been since 1989 when I got into this, when the Ohio law changed from let the buyer beware to the agency disclosure laws, and every state around the country has supported those since the early 90s. So 20 years plus, really, it's been all over the place. So any niche that a realtor is in, there certainly is room for. In residential, you have buyer's brokers. On apartment sides, you have buyer's brokers on there. It is definitely most prevalent, though, in office and or retail.
So you've seen people doing this kind of work for quite a while, Greg. What are some of the common mistakes that people tend to make that you could kind of point them in a direction of avoiding?
Well, the mistakes most realtors make is not taking enough time to do the due diligence. Maybe just so anxious to get a client that they get somebody that doesn't have the financial wherewithal to do what they want to do. So doing that research, and so much today can be online, and obviously shared financials. Sometimes you've got to sign a non-disclosure form to get those financials. But if a prospective client won't give your true financial picture, you have to run, and you have to run quickly, and or you have to go get a good retainer fee up front. And I'll give you a pretty good example. A couple of years ago, I was working with a medical group of OBGYNs, and they've been looking in the market for 2 years, and I had known this, and they came to me, and we ended up charging them a pretty healthy retainer to make sure that we weren't going to waste another 2 years, you know, like they had done, because time is money in real estate. You can make $10 an hour or $300 an hour. It's pretty much up to you, and I'd much rather make $300 than $10, which I think all of the listeners would as well. So finding out if they're financially able to do what they say they want to do once you understand their needs. And then secondly, making sure you're contracting with the person that really has the legal ability to sign a lease, a contract, an investment. Early in my career, I made that mistake to work with people and had a phenomenal relationship. And here they had no signing ability whatsoever. So this is really crucial. Understand their financials, make sure they have the legal authority to sign, and get a clear picture of their short and long-term goals, and does it lie within the niche of your expertise? The other big mistake people make is working on something that's outside of their expertise and being greedy and wanting it all, rather than partnering with somebody else, whether within or outside of their company, on working on something that they don't either know the process and or the market. Very, very important, because it's only going to hurt you and or your company's reputation by doing a poor job or a mediocre job on something instead of referring it off and doing an excellent job and keeping your good reputation.
Greg, if you want to take a look in your crystal ball at the conditions in the market over the next couple of years, what would you say to people are the likely conditions we're going to find?
Well, my crystal ball is still a little foggy, but it is clearing up. Obviously, the election is going to really be big. I personally believe the debt that our government has and continues to add is that black cloud that really hurts the real estate business. It's all about jobs, and it's all about eliminating waste and debt. If we can do a good job on that, you know, come 6 months from now, then I think you'll see some really positive changes. If we don't, then it's going to probably continue for another couple of years. Absorption has been pretty flat in most areas. And I just did a seminar on this 2 weeks ago, so I have all the up-to-date NAR numbers. Jobs are still not anywhere near where we had projected them to be. Okay. That does not mean, though, that there is not a ton of business out there that's available. Okay, why? Again, people need somebody they can trust. People need to know somebody that can take them through the market and find opportunities for them. We just helped a doctor buy an office condominium for 60 cents on the dollar. That was a take back to the bank. So buying opportunities today are at a historic low and will be price-wise and will continue to be that way. So there's phenomenal buys out there with people with good credit and or a good strategic plan. Interest rates are at what? 50-year low. It's like stealing. The interest rates are so low. I believe they will continue to be low, but they certainly should inch up a little bit. So that's why I kept stressing about having a strategic plan. There will be as much business out there as people develop their relationships with it. Their comfort level with you and or your company and your expertise will dictate how much business you're going to be able to get. But whether you're representing an investor, there's great investment opportunities all over the country. We're taking advantage of that every day with our clients. If they're representing tenants, the tenant has the ability to renew at a lower rate than ever before or relocate, and there's five or six other landlords that are dying to have them in virtually every market in the country. And if they want to purchase and they're representing buyers, then certainly, again, we've got great deals well below what it would cost to build something out there in historic low rates. So yes, there's storms on the horizon, But even more so, there's more opportunity than ever before. Being positive, living with an attitude of gratitude, seeking first to understand, then be understood, knowing the process in the market inside and out are a real key, Steve, to make sure this goes like it should.
Well, it's great advice, Greg, and we appreciate it. Why don't you give us a little capsule of your Signature Series program for the NAR this year?
Yeah, this will be my, I think, fifth year of doing the NAR Signature Series, and they can look at shankseminars.com. That's S-C-H-E-N-K, seminars.com, that we teach on a variety of subjects. And the most important thing we do is we design the curriculum around what the issues in the specific association or office are having. Nothing is boilerplate, and we give 100% guarantee on everything that we do. We're here to help those that want to learn, grow, and prosper and are passionate about doing that. We will help you be more professional, have a foundation for lifelong success, and make more money, and give you your dreams to come true like they have for me.
Sounds terrific, Greg. Thanks very much for joining us on the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Thank you, Steve, and I look forward to talking and seeing everybody real soon.
Greg Shank is president of The Shank Company in Columbus, Ohio. You can get more information about his company and his training programs at irepthetenant.com. And for more information about NAR Commercial, visit the website realtor.org/commercial. If you have comments or suggestions about these programs, please write to us. My email address is steve@lubetkincommunications.com. We produce these programs in the studios of Lubetkin Global Communications in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. For everyone at NAR Commercial and the National Association of Realtors, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.